think you're what they say you are. Ricky Lee, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are?
It's showtime with Ricky Lee. Thank you for joining me here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. In the 1980s, reruns of the television series The Monkees were so popular that the producers decided to make a new television show about a new television band, The New Monkees. The band did one self-titled album, and it is still one of my favorite guilty pleasure albums to listen to. Larry Saltus handled lead guitar and lead vocals. Today, I have the great pleasure of being joined by Larry to talk a little bit about the New Monkees and also his current band, Colorvine. Also joining us are the other members of Colorvine, Heath Saltus and Kurt Reed. Welcome to the show, Larry. Now,
hey, thank you.
I'm going to start with you, and then we'll bring in the rest of the band. So let's go back to the beginning. You were a teenager when they had auditions for the New Monkees. What was that process like?
As teenage as you can possibly imagine. So, as naive as you can possibly imagine. The story goes the same way it always was. I ended up going to New York for a cattle call audition and stood in line for a very long time. Ended up getting a second audition the next day, and a third one that day. And the third one, of course, was where you have to perform in front of these people in an SIR studio room. And you don't see all the faces, but when you're done and off the stage, you get to see who's there. And it's a good thing I did know everybody that was in the room at the time, because I think David Sanborn was there. Martin Goodman from MTV was there. There were some other personalities from country music there and other TV affiliates. And so I would have never gotten through it. But I did, and they told me to go home, and they'd call me if they thought I could, you know, go anywhere with this. So it was just that quick of an experience, and then fast forward probably another month later to where they called me out to L.A. for the final audition process, which was a great experience because there were 9 guys they had chosen, 2 from the Midwest auditions, and the others were all from the West Coast auditions.
And what happened next? Did you just go straight into the recording studio?
No, we actually, once they did some screen testing, they went ahead and chose their 4, and that was us at the time, Marty, Nito, and Jared and me. Then they put us into acting lessons with a former acting coach of many people out there. Probably shouldn't say one name, a lot of people. But we basically learned how to act with each other, which is, you know, they'll agree with me, it was a disaster because, you know, there's 4 different guys from all over different parts of the world, and getting together and you don't even know each other. You try to be familiar with each other and you try to figure each other out. And then you got to figure out timing between lines and how to just react with one another and entertain other people while you're doing it. It was a good test. We got through it. And then next thing you know, we're in the recording studio. And once contracts are finalized, you're into recording studio with Warner Brothers as your record label and Columbia Pictures was your TV conglomerate behind the sitcom. So quite big hands were involved.
And what was the recording process like for the album?
Very entertaining. And for me, I thought I was learned, but I wasn't. Whereas Marty Ross is a very well-learned, seasoned recording guy in L.A. at the time. We walked into a situation where we were working with different producers, different writers, great songs, a lot of hands involved and fingers involved in it. And you were basically told to show up and sing at that time. And then it just evolved into, okay, who's singing this song? Who's singing that? We worked that all out during the process. We were at the same time we were filming. So we were working 80-hour weeks.
Wow.
We would do the filming of the TV show and then at night go record the record.
Now, after the New Monkees disbanded, you signed a recording contract with the band Tower City with your brother Heath. Can you tell me a little bit about that experience?
Sure, thank you. That would be sort of a rewind even before the New Monkees, where Keith and I were working on music all the time in a band, and we caught the attention of a regional promoter for Atlantic Records and started to have, I would say, correspondence back then with Atlantic Records in New York, and basically found out that the way they wanted to do it was see that we went to college first and then we were going to talk. It was a different way of doing things at the time.
Right.
I think, nevertheless, though, I think Debbie Gibson got signed like 2 weeks after our critique. So destroyed that one. But so fast forward now past the New Monkeys thing, and then you have Keith move out, and we get things back together, even with the original bassist at the time, Tim Weiner, and got into showcasing and did showcases and ended up signing deals. The Tower City thing, though, actually came in 96, way after all that. So the Tower City material was written in 91, I believe, Heath, if that's right, and recorded then. And it was recorded under deals between Interscope Records and Atco Records. We were the highest paid act in a 3-year period, I think, to never get a record act. Because we'd sign a record contract, we got dumped, we get to another record label, get dumped again. And there were very different issues back then, mostly economical, having to do with recording process and pricing.
Now, you did eventually release the Tower City recordings in 1996. Is that right?
That's right. Okay. That's right. And that was because of a guy named Magnus Söderqvist with a record label called MGM Records in Sweden, who flew to New York to ask his good buddy, Derek Oliver at Atco Records, are there any bands at Atlantic that didn't get released that I need to hear? And Derek Oliver handed him our cassette. And that's what happened.
Awesome. Well, we're going to play a little song from you guys, A Little Bit of Fire from the Tower City days. And we're going to go ahead and listen to that now.
Yeah.
You're listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Today, my guests are Larry Saltis, Heath Saltis, and Kurt Reed of the band Colorvine. For more information on the band, including how to buy their album, go to colorvineband.com. Now, after the release of the Tower City album, you guys were actually still had in effect Colorvine. Is that correct?
That's right.
And tell me a little bit about the Colorvine sound.
I'd say the Colorvine sound was like the grassroots alternative to things at the time in 1995 when it came out. It was just a three-piece guitar, bass, and drums trio that really, really just got into, you know, moving you in some way, shape, or form as a three-piece. There was no idea set out of how we wanted to sound. It just evolved into that, because going from Tower City, which is a big production, almost Def Leppard-ish type of sound, getting to Colorvine was more of a stripped down thing and very raw, not a lot of verb or anything else going on. So that's what it was. It was a presentation just of the music, just standalone on its own, what the songs could do for people. And we just did the best we could at the time.
Now, Heath, how was the recording process for Colorvine in Ohio different than the Tower City sessions in California?
Well, first of all, thanks for having us on. This is a great trip down memory lane. I think, you know, the big difference between, you know, Tower City and Colorvine was, is I was mainly doing keyboard role and, you know, in Tower City and doing a lot of programming, sequencing, and Larry and I would do a lot of writing, and we'd look over and he'd do a lot of programming of the drums in Tower City. And then Colorvine, fast forward to Colorvine, I took over drums one day. You know, we got tired of drummers and, you know, firing or drummers quitting, and then I just took over drums. So all of a sudden it was effective Larry, Tim, and me. I became a drummer overnight, and there you go. So we went in and effectively recorded as a three-piece. So it was very stripped down and raw.
And not to interrupt, but Ricky, yeah. I just got a text that Kurt is in the Zoom room or waiting room, and you need to let him in.
Okay. All right.
Whatever that means.
that was not part of the recording process.
You know? Now we're going to go ahead and play the single Hangnail from Colorvine's self-titled debut album.
No.
Now, the current lineup of Ohio-based Colorvine is Larry Saltis on guitar and lead vocals, Heath Saltis on drums and vocals, and Kurt Reed on bass and vocals. Kurt, as the new man in the group, what attracted you to the Colorvine sound?
Well, it's kind of a complicated, I guess it's layered, I should say. I operate a music school, and Larry's son and daughter go to the school. And so Larry had sent me a note, or I should say Joan had sent me a note saying, hey, there's a Larry's releasing a new song and you should check it out. And so when I heard it, I was like, oh my gosh, this is, I can't tell you how many bands or students, parents or whoever send me notes that are like, oh, you should check out my friend's band. And so I didn't have much expectation. And I was like, these guys are serious. This is a real, they've got a great sound. You know, I think Heath would and Larry would tell me that it's an American rock sound. And I don't know, it feels like a lot of things to me, and it really appealed to me. So I said to Joan, I sent her a note right back. I said, I'm really impressed. This is not what I expected. So it was a really great mix, really clean. It was the Victory music video, so it was a lot of fun and a lot of energy in the video. So I think right away I was really impressed with how professional this outfit sounded, and you know, how exciting the music was.
Now, Heath, some people call Colorvine sound progressive and others call it retro. How would you describe the band's sound?
I would call it a modern American rock band. I think we're all looking for a bit of nostalgia. And you know, I find it's that we say nostalgic because we, you know, me and Larry have kids and we have to listen to a lot of their music every day. And, but we're 80s guys, you know? But I think it's just got something that everybody's latching on to right now, you know, and if you're rock guys, you find something, but I think it's just got good melodies. I think if you have a good melody that taps into something clean, then you're going to find something you like in it. So that's, and we're a rock band when it really comes down to it. So.
And what is the songwriting process like for Colorvine?
So I'll take that one, Ricky. I think now it's evolved into something with the three of us where anybody presents an idea and we just sit down with acoustic guitars really when it's now. And if someone has a great idea, we're really open. And I think that's what there's a lot of trust and authenticity between the three of us. And the best times we have is when we sit down and we crack open a cold one and relax, and there's some acoustic guitars going and we're playing and we record it on a digital phone and we listen to these great ideas. And then Kurt and I were together the other night around the fire when we were listening to these wonderful ideas, and or Larry presents an idea and it could have a lyric, or I could present an idea and these great songs evolve out of it. But it's very grassroots now. And if you can sit down and play a Colorvine song on a guitar, an acoustic guitar, and sing it and the crowd can get into it, then that's pretty much how the foundations are set.
Now, pre-COVID, you played throughout the Midwest and opened for bands like Foreigner. With COVID-19 all around, there's been less opportunities to safely reach fans. Kurt, have you guys in the band used the time to write any new material?
Yeah, I think this has been a blessing in disguise, or whatever you want to call it. In that regard, I feel like, you know, we were really pushing shows. There was a period of time when we were playing maybe four nights a week, or rehearsing rather four nights a week. I wouldn't be surprised if we were putting, you know, four or five nights a week for three or four months to get ready for our tour. So we really were not in any kind of mode other than just pushing the tour and pushing the new album. So, you know, we'd already started to talk about 6 months into the tour about, hey, there's some ideas floating around. So there was sort of a sketch kind of going before, I guess, the pandemic or the lockdowns really went into effect. And then this past fall, we just were like, what else can we do? Let's go to the studio and put this thing in and track it. And the song, I think the title, I don't know if we can, I think we can say it. Can we say it?
Yeah, sure.
Well, yeah. And it's an interesting story. Larry should probably jump in on that, but it's been a great, we've used that time absolutely to try to keep, you know, keep our inspiration. It was such a, you know, 2019, it was such a big year for so many reasons. And then 2020 felt like we all need a mulligan after that. So it was a blessing to be able to go in the studio and do some writing. And I think we're really excited about the new track. I think it's interesting that we wrote it before the pandemic. Again, the sketch was there, but it has an especially strong meaning now. I guess you could say post-vaccination, or now that we're kind of on the other side, hopefully, of the pandemic.
You've been listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee. My guests today have been Larry Saltis of the bands New Monkeys, Tower City, and currently Color Vine, and the other members of the band Color Vine, Heath Saltis and Kurt Reed. Take it from me, Color Vine is a fantastic band, and their album Wake Up is one that you should own. For more information on the band and their album Wake Up, please visit colorvineband.com. To close out the show, we're going to play the single Radio Days from Color Vine's album, Wake Up. Guys, it's been a pleasure. I hope you will come back and share more adventures with me in the future.
Thank you, Ricky.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
Thank you, Ricky. We had so much fun.
Thank you.
Started.